remember once I was in San Francisco. It was the first time I'd driven on what was, for me, the wrong side of the road. We ended up going over the very long Bay Bridge by accident. It turned out I'd taken a wrong turn and I was completely lost. Have you ever taken a wrong turn? Diamond, and I'm truly excited because today we're opening up God's Word to help you to discover your way, your direction, your destiny in life through really knowing who you are and who God made you to be. So as we share some time together, I'm praying that God will truly give you a powerful new revelation of His plans and His purposes for your life through His Spirit and His Word. Most of us have a sense of destiny to our lives. You know, there is a life somehow that we're meant to live and a me that we're meant to be. Yet so often in life, maybe this has happened to you, you wake up in the morning and you think, hang on a minute, life isn't what it's meant to be. Look at me. Who am I? Am I living my life out to the full? Well, today's program is the second in a series of four that I've called exactly that, Living Life to the Full by Knowing Who I Am. Last week, we started with Psalm 139. It says that you and I are handcrafted by God. Every strand of our DNA was laid down according to His plan. Every minute of every day, every up, every down is a part of His plan before time even began. Now, there are two options for me. I can either see myself as some random collection of atoms evolved from a primeval slime, or as someone handcrafted by God. Now, for me, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, it takes a whole bunch less faith to believe that God created me than to think of myself as some random collection of molecules that just happen to come together and create the complex person that I am. And as I look around at people, and you see how wonderful and beautiful and complex and intricately made they are, with such huge potential, I don't know, I just can't look at a person and think of them as just a random collection of molecules. Psalm 139 is beautiful. It's really worth having a read, and we'll look at it again a bit later on the program. Today, though, I want to come alongside and look at where we are in our lives today. See, I know people who believe in Jesus Christ who'll say to me, Bernie, my life, well, it's not how it's meant to be. There's something missing. I mean, I hear people talking about how God wants to bless us, but I'm not experiencing that. I feel empty. I feel life is just drifting by. I feel there must be something more. Well, that's because there is. So what's wrong? I'd like to share a story with you about the first time I visited one of the most beautiful cities in the world, the city of San Francisco in the United States. It's absolutely one of my favorite cities on the planet. Anyhow, it was a work trip, and I had a couple of clients with me. I was a consultant in the IT industry at the time, and these two clients, Vince and Hans, the three of us had to drive around San Francisco, in fact, the whole Bay Area. We had to go across the Bay Bridge to a little place called Walnut Creek. Now, that sounds great, but it was a pretty daunting trip. More people live in the Bay Area of San Francisco than live in the whole of Australia. So, muggins me, I was the consultant. I got to be the driver. Now, it's not only a huge, daunting, unfamiliar city, but remember, they all drive on the wrong side of the road. So, making a left-hand turn, the three of us would do it together. You know, the other guys in the front seat and the back seat would say, okay, left-hand turn, we have to end up on the other side of the road. So we would all talk our way through this left-hand turn, making sure that instead of ending up in the gutter, I ended up on the other side of the road. Anyhow, back to the Bay Bridge. The Bay Bridge is not some small, tiny little bridge. It's not the Golden Gate Bridge. The Bay Bridge is actually a really long bridge. It goes for 4.5 miles, over 7 kilometres. It's 2 stories. It just goes literally for miles. In our travels that first visit to San Francisco, we actually went across the Bay Bridge twice, only once intentionally. I'm not sure what happened, but the second time we were navigating our way through downtown and we wanted to be there for a meeting, but before we knew it, we were on some freeway that takes you over the Bay Bridge and there was no way off. I'd made a wrong turn. There was no alternative. We just had to travel miles across the Bay Bridge, and we ended up on the other side of the bay. It was a beautiful drive. It was a lovely day. The sun was shining. It was fabulous. But as nice as it was over there, that's not where we were meant to be. We had two choices. We could spend the rest of our visit driving around the other side of the bay, the wrong area, or turn back and come home so that we could be where we were meant to be. We're talking about today living our lives to the full, being who God made us to be, being on the journey He's chosen for us. God has a plan, but sometimes we take a wrong turn. Let's go back to Psalm 139 that we looked at last week because it's such a beautiful psalm. Here's God's plan. The psalmist says, "For God, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Don't you love it? It's the psalmist saying, "God, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your work is so wonderful. I know that full well. I wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in that secret place. When I was woven together there in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed substance. And all the days that you were going to give me, they'd been written in your book already before any of them existed. Ah, God, that is so awesome. It's beautiful. God made us, you and me, who we are. He handcrafted us. He dreamt us up in his heart before time even began. And then he set each day aside for us, every path, every journey, every experience before any of them existed. That's huge. I am who he made me to be. You are who he made you to be. And he has a plan for our lives. And God is a good and a loving God. He has a good and loving plan. That's not to say we won't experience pain or be rejected or go through some bad times. All those things, well, we'd rather we didn't have them. But they do happen. In fact, Jesus said, "Follow me and you'll be rejected. Follow me and you'll experience pain." But he has a plan, nevertheless, a rich tapestry with threads of gold and silver and some dark threads in there too. When you lose someone you love, you can be sitting there in pain and tears and yet still deep inside know that you're right in the center of God's plan. Or on the other hand, everything can be going along fine on the surface, but on the inside, somehow you know you're miles away from God's plan. Maybe you've taken a wrong turn, and we'll come back to that after this break.
I'm Bernie Diamond and you're listening to Christianity Works. There's something incredibly special that happens when we get a handle on exactly who we are, what motivates us, what drives us, and also who we aren't. And to help you with that, hop onto our website right now and check out the latest messages. You'll find some great information about your God-given personality type and how you can be the best that you can possibly be. Go to the A Different Perspective section of ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see a series of messages called Yes, Old Dogs Can Learn New Tricks. That's all at our great new website, ChristianityWorks.com. And so come by and check it out. You can even find out how to follow me on Twitter or visit our Facebook page. Now, it's easy sometimes for us to be traveling through adversity, through pain or loneliness or rejection or sickness, and think to ourselves, this mustn't be part of God's plan for me. But those things happen in life no matter who we are. In fact, sometimes they seem to happen more to people who've set their hearts on following Jesus than those who haven't. And that's what we're going to go on and have a look at right now.
Have you ever seriously been lost? I can tell you it's not a good feeling. There I was in San Francisco in a foreign land, an unfamiliar city, driving across this huge Bay Bridge, and it seemed to go on forever, only to get to the other side. And on the other side, I was still driving on the wrong side of the road. And there was traffic, and there were one-way streets, and there was no easy way of turning around. I could tell you, as beautiful as San Francisco is, and was to me on that day, this was not a good feeling. All because I took that one stupid wrong turn. Now, I was miles away from where I wanted to be. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. We take this one wrong turn. What does that mean exactly? Well, God made us who we are. He has a plan for our lives, a good and a perfect plan. We saw that before the break in Psalm 139. And when we live out who we are and walk day by day, step by step, in the plan that God has for us, there's something right about it. There's something good about it. When we're living out God's plan, there's just a joy about that in our lives. On the other hand, sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we take a left or a right when God wants us to go straight ahead. Now, I've done both. I've been lost, and today I'm being the me I was meant to be. And I can tell you there is just no comparison between the two. I wouldn't go back to my lostness for anything. Back then on paper, I earned so much more than I do now. But today I'm so much richer than I ever was. I had a sense way back then that God kind of created me, and he probably had a plan for me, but I just wanted to do things my way. I was young and I wanted to do it my way. And so I turned my back on God and chased wealth and fame and fortune and actually pretty much got what I was after, just to discover how empty and unfulfilling and hollow those things really were. But you know, it doesn't have to be completely walking away from God. For some people, taking a wrong turn in life can be seemingly a small thing. Somehow getting out of the habit of spending time in prayer and reading the Bible, somehow just drifting away from God, or you still do those things, but there's this one person in your life you just can't forgive, or you're caught up in something you know is wrong. Ah, but what the hey, you know, God'll understand. Psalm 119 is the longest of all the Psalms. And the last verse, verse 176, says this: I have strayed like a lost sheep. Now, sheep aren't stupid, mind you. They're quite bright. The issue is they're very short-sighted. They can't really see clearly beyond about 15 feet. And on top of that, they don't have a very good sense of direction. They can't get back home once they're lost. You know, I think we're like that. We follow this or we follow that. This takes our fancy, that takes our fancy. It can be seemingly harmless. Maybe just a bit of extra money and we buy a new lounge suite and then we redecorate this room and that room. And before you know it, we're so enjoying our possessions that we don't have room for God in our lives. That's how these things happen. It's so easy to wander off, to stray like a lost sheep. I don't know about you, but I have a natural tendency towards spiritual myopia, short-sightedness. And we need to hang so close to Jesus. In fact, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6 says this: My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to run on the mountains. They wandered over the mountain and hill and forgot their own resting place. Whoever found them devoured them. Things, people, lead us astray. And when we're wandering out there in the wilderness and the mountains, we forget our own resting place. We forget how wonderful it is to be living the life that God planned for us, to be in his rest. And so we do get devoured and we do get eaten up because it's terrible out there without Jesus. And that's it for me. See, God is my resting place, that close and intimate relationship with him. You know that you can just go to him and rest in him in the cool of the morning and the heat of the day, and there's a peace and a joy, just a wonderful knowledge of him in that. Now, this isn't a crutch. I'm a self-reliant and outcome-focused person as you'll ever meet. I'm not talking about a crutch. I'm talking about a knowledge, a certain knowledge that God is in this place with me, and I am smack bang in the center of his plan for me. That's it. Have a look around. Does this feel like the place you're meant to be? Examine your heart. Do you look like the person you're meant to be? Or is something wrong? Is something missing? The whole of the Old Testament is about Israel's struggle with their sin. God had this amazing plan to bless them, the promised land, peace, plenty of food, more peace. Over and over again, they took a wrong turn. They turned their backs on him, sometimes completely, sometimes just in one area of their lives. But the Bible has a name for that. It's called sin. It's taking a wrong turn. Here we are, made in his image, and we let sin creep in and mar that image. It robs us of being the person we're meant to be. It transports us into a wilderness, a lostness. Why? Because God is a holy God. It means that he's good and he's perfect and he's wondrous, and our sin and our rebellion are our rejection of him. They separate us from him. The question is, when we've taken a wrong turn, how? How do we get back?
I'm Penny Diamond, and yep, you're listening to Christianity Works. You know, it's pretty amazing when we sit down and look at our lives. Sometimes we don't make the connection between that thing that seems to be missing and some of the wrong turns we've made and continue to make. God is a God who wants to bless us. He truly does, but, and here's the but, when we turn our backs on him, when we reject his will and his ways, even in just one area of our lives, that acts as a blockage to the blessing. And the reason is that he loves us. He simply can't bless our sin. When you look at the history of Israel, that's exactly what happened. And the reason was so that they would turn back to their God. Real blessing flows when we're in God's will. It makes sense, really. So can I encourage you today to look at your life, to examine your heart, and let him shine his light into that place so that you can see with absolute clarity the things that are going on that are blocking the blessing. Father God, I just pray that you'll show us those things. Lord, clearly put your finger on our sin. Help us, Lord God, to stop rationalizing and justifying our rebellion, but rather to name it for what it is and bring it to you and lay it at the foot of the cross in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get back into God's Word. When we talk about taking a wrong turn, it's one thing to admit that this is what we've done, and it's an important first step, but the question is, how do we get back? I was sharing before with you the story of when I was lost in San Francisco and ended up over the Bay Bridge with this long, big, 4.5 mile, 7 kilometer bridge just because I took one little wrong turn. And we headed over that bridge and we ended up on the other side of the bay, miles away from where we were meant to be downtown for our meeting. Way on the other side. And you might say, Bernie, well, it's obvious to get back. Just turn around and go back on the same bridge. Well, maybe in theory it's obvious, but remember, we were driving on the wrong side of the road, on the opposite side to what I'm used to driving. You get to the other side of the bay and there's traffic and there are roads and there are signs. I'm not really familiar with the road rules. Can you do a U-turn at a traffic light or not in the USA? I don't know. Because in Australia, in one state you're allowed to, and in another state you're not. It's years ago now, but I remember the sense of panic and confusion. The way back may have been obvious in theory, but on the ground, it was far from obvious. Isn't that exactly what it's like when we take a wrong turn in our lives? You may slip up one silly wrong turn and you end up miles away from God and his plan and who you're meant to be. And it's like being on the other side of the bay in San Francisco. It's a long way away. You can't swim back. You can't get back there in your own strength. So on the ground, it's confusing and scary. Would he have me back? I mean, look at what I've done. Besides, it's not as simple as that. I have to give this up or that up. That wouldn't work out in my life. On and on we go. We make so many excuses. We make it so complicated. We run around in ever-decreasing circles. Oh, my life isn't what it's meant to be. Something's missing. I'm not being the me I was meant to be. And vaguely, way out in the distance, we sense the God who created us, who planned our lives for us, who wants to bless us. But how do we get back? I wonder if you can relate to that. I think we've all been there, and maybe you're in that place today. Now, I thank God for Jesus' disciples because they kind of went ahead and made all the mistakes that we make, and particularly Thomas. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you that."
I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that you are also where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him because you have seen me. See, Jesus is going to be crucified, and then he's going to rise again, and he's going to ascend to heaven. They don't really understand that yet. And Thomas, what's he expecting? He wants a roadmap. He was on the other side of the bay, on the wrong side of the road. And he's saying to Jesus, how do I get back across the bridge? And Jesus said, don't you get it? Thomas, I'm the way. I am the bridge. You don't cross that huge gulf from lostness to God unless you go on the bridge. And that bridge, said Jesus, is me. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 and go to the open country to go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Then he calls out to his friends and his neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who did not need to repent. When we take a wrong turn, when we rebel against God, we kind of think he will never want me back. I don't know how to go back. It's just not working. Here is Jesus. He's got a shepherd's heart. He goes out looking for one lost sheep. And he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the good shepherd who owns the sheep. When the wolves come, he runs away. But I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. He comes out to get us. He has compassion on us. And you know something? Maybe that's what he is doing right now. Do you think it's a coincidence that we're together right now? Or is Jesus reaching out through his word, calling you home? Have you ever been wandering around out there in the wilderness, wondering, how do I get close to God again? Have you taken a wrong turn? Are you ready to admit it and say to God, God, forgive me through Jesus Christ, your Son. Forgive me. The way home is when we trust that in Jesus we are forgiven. When we let him lead us home, because we can't get there on our own, we'll discover where home is. When we let him, by his Spirit and by his word, make things right in our hearts, we'll discover the peace and the plan that God has for us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Being the person God made us to be, living the life he planned for us to the full, we can't do those things when we take a wrong turn. And when we do take a wrong turn, it's not a surprise to him. He knows. He understands. He wants us back with him. He wants to get us close, really close to him. And the only way that you and I can do that is to be forgiven through Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross. And then, can I tell you something? Set aside some time each day and pray and read his word and just rest in his presence. Instead of panicking and running around in ever-decreasing circles, today, right now, this very minute, you can turn to Jesus Christ and say, Father, I'm on the wrong side of the bay, and I'm lost, and I know I can't get back to you in my own strength, and that's why I need Jesus. Then and only then, we discover that the me each one of us is meant to be and the plan that God has for our lives is so awesome. See, God made us to be with him. Jesus' prayer before he went to the cross was this, Father, I want them to be with me. I want them to be one with me, just like you and I are one. I want them to be with me where I am so they can behold my glory. Jesus went to the cross and purchased this one thing with his life for you and me. Have you taken a wrong turn? There's a road sign. There's a sign home, and it says Jesus. the shepherd, has come out to bring you home.
And God does indeed want to bring us home to Him. Hallelujah. That's what I call really good news. And you know something? Of the millions of people who are listening to this program this week around the globe, He is reaching out over and over and over again. He's reaching out to you right now, to you. Father God, I just pray that right now you would touch each one of us through your Spirit and your Word. Lord, give us the certain assurance of your grace, the certain knowledge that you are reaching out to each one of us today, not to judge us or condemn us, not to punish us, but to bring us home. Lord Jesus, we confess with our lips that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We put our trust and our faith in you. Thank you for what you did for us on that cross. Thank you for paying for our sin, for my sin, with your life. I now put my faith in you. I believe that through you, I can come back and be the person that I was meant to be. Father God, would you do that? Would you put us back on track? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I want to encourage you to take the time to spend in God's Word to discover what He has to say about who you are and the perfect plan that He has for your life. And if perhaps you've taken a wrong turn, now's the time to turn back. He's waiting. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you at the same time next week right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.